the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media.
Stephen George,
budding country music star,
J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And this is the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm Rick Redding, your host for the 298th week in a row here on the Rusty Satellite Show. The most interesting people in the Ville always drop in on the show, and I have not failed you this week. I am very excited. I've got sort of a newsy episode of the Rusty Satellite Show in store for you this week. And let me tell you about who my guests are. In the second part of the show, I'm going to have Dan Borsch on here. Dan, you may remember, was on 2 years ago. He operates a couple of businesses in Old Louisville, the Tavern and the Toonerville Tavern and Burger Boy, the diner. And he has some new stuff coming. You might remember 6 months or so ago, he announced that Bluegrass Burgers on Frankfort Avenue was going to become a new Burger Boy. Well, it's not. That did not happen. No, instead, Dan named it the Burger Girl. How about that? That's a funny story. We talk about that in our interview that's coming up a little bit later. Dan's also got a project going right up the street on Frankfort, the Hillcrest Tavern, which is going to be a dynamite place and contributing to what I would call is an exciting new corridor of activity right along Frankfort from Cannon's, where like Joella's is, to the Burger Girl. And then there's going to be the Hillcrest Tavern, the Frankfort Avenue Beer Depot, and the Frankfort, and next door to that they're opening a new fish place called Hooked on Fish. And it just goes on and on. So that's an area near my house, so I'm very excited about that. All right. And so this show is brought to you, as always, by Passport Health Plan. My friends over there have been with the show since almost the very beginning. And my my buddy Mark Prussian over at the Eye Care Institute, who provided me with great vision. I had LASIK done there last summer, and it is paying off. It's really great. You can call them and get your own appointment to see if you're eligible for LASIK. Or maybe you just need new glasses. They do it all right here in Butchertown at 502-589-1500. Give them a call. And my friends at Heiser Health have nursed me back to good health, and I'm very happy about that. Heiser Health, they've got a location in the Melwood Arts Center and in the East End. All right, well, there's a whole bunch of news to get to today. And, yes, it is the first day of spring. Yay! And it is also the beginning of the NCAA basketball tournament, which is going on. And, you know, maybe you're paying attention to that. I got a feeling that it may be just me, but I seem to feel that fewer people are asking me about brackets and what's going to go on in the tournament. And anyway, but if you're listening to this on Thursday, Louisville kicks off the tournament at noon. You can go over to the Tavern in Old Louisville and watch it, or you can find a way to get out of work to see the Cards play Minnesota, coached by Richard Pitino, right there at noon on Thursday. Okay, Kentucky plays Thursday night. Murray State's in the tournament. Northern Kentucky's in the tournament. And it'll be a very exciting a weekend as you, as you OD on basketball. Louisville's the number one market for watching basketball, as most of you know. So, anyway, let's get on with the show. And my first guest, I'm really thrilled that I heard from Vin Morreale the other day. Vin is, he's very talented as a actor, musician. He's been involved in writing plays, producing movies, and I knew him from like 30 years ago when I first started doing some work at a company called AdCraft, and Ben was on a project there way back then. But he's done a lot more since then, including he runs this operation called Academy Arts Press. They have a fiction they have a writing contest going on. He does some classes over there. It's all very interesting. Vin's a very interesting guy, and I think you'll like him. So here's our interview.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And we're back on the Rusty Satellite Show. Very excited to have in the studio Vin Morreale, who we go back a long way, don't we?
We go back to the Complete History of Golf video series, which we did 20-something years ago.
Golly. You were that. You know, it's so long ago, I barely remember it. But I know we did it. And I heard from you just the other day about, and I was very interested in this because you've written a song about Louisville.
I've actually written many songs, but this one we're very excited about. I worked with Mark Big Papa Stampley, who's okay. a local blues musician out here. He does the music, I did the lyrics, and we had Josh Glauber singing the vocals on it, and I think it turned out very well, and it celebrates Louisville, which is what we're excited about.
Okay, and just a little bit more about it, the history of it, obviously, and where it's going.
Well, I've written so many things, plays, screenplays, short stories, novels, and I wanted to try my hand at lyrics, and I fell in love with Louisville, and this was sort of my love letter to the city. And when I connected with Mark, he put the music together, and it's now on iTunes, it's on YouTube, it's on Google Play, a little bit of everything.
Well, let's hear it on the Rusty Satellite Show then.
Take me home, her voice still haunts me. Across the miles, she calls me still. Silver City on the river, take me home to Louisville. Memories of friendly people, steamboat spray and sunlit mist. City shimmers with the future, yet the southern charm is kissed. I was born in southern sunshine, bluegrass fields I learned to run. Love to chime, goes wild and tender. Kentucky woman, gentle one. Cherokee on Sunday morning. Churchill Downs, the Belvedere. But hearts can chill with little warning. Distant shores, they call so clear. I left home in search of elsewhere, never knowing what I'd find. And traveled west, out to the ocean, leaving love so far behind. In California, land of dreamers, some are shattered, some are sold, but there's no warmth on LA beaches without someone real to hold. Take me home, her voice still haunts me. Across the miles, she calls me still. Silver City on the river, take me home to Louisville. I was drawn to Eastern hustle, New York City, modern styles. I found no heart behind the muscle. Too much fashion in the smiles. All the places I have run to, still I know waits for me. Derby City, fair and patient, lives in soft, sweet memory. Take me home, her voice still haunts me. Across the miles, she calls me still. Words my heart has always spoken, and I belong in Louisville. Words my heart has always spoken, and I belong in Louisville.
All right, how awesome was that? Written by Vin Morreale. And who's Josh Glauber? I want to know all about it.
Josh is a local musician as well, and he's playing two or three different instruments there.
Wow!
Great vocals, and as I mentioned, Mark Big Papa Stampley had done the music on that. It was recorded right here in Louisville, and we're looking for perhaps some tie-in with the Derby or something with the city.
Well, it certainly. Certainly needs to, but we need to get on that. We need to make this happen. Would they perform it in places? Is that
we could do that? We could use it as a commercial back for something.
Okay,
it's going out on a record under the band called Prime Cuts.
Okay,
we've got four or five other songs like that. Some are totally different. There's a fun blues song called "This Beer Ain't Working." There's a 1940s a 1940s torch song featuring Laney B.
Okay.
Called "Didn't Mean to Lead You On."
I listened to that one. Yeah, very cool. Well, that's awesome, Vin. I'm thrilled to know about this because it was totally off my radar screen, and I try to be all things Louisville. So I'm going to be on your team in promoting this. This song, at least.
Thank you. We love that.
Yeah, but let's talk a little bit about our past and the things that you've been doing, which I think are quite amazing. Where do we start?
Well, I do a little bit of everything. I've written 25 film scripts. I've had over 1,000 productions of my plays, my screenplays, my comedy material all over the world. Some of it's translated into 5 different languages. I've had productions of my stage plays in Russia, Kazakhstan, Italy, Sri Lanka. And wow. you wonder whether the material is funny in Kazakhstan and Sri Lanka, but I'm just thrilled that it's going out there.
But your proudest moment has to be playing the Joker at the Kentucky Kingdom, right?
That was my midlife crisis. I fought Batman as the Joker for 2 years, jumping off 2-story buildings and standing on the back of the Batmobile, punching Batman, who was a big ex-Marine, and I'm a little guy. But for some reason, the Joker always lost every show 5 times a day.
I think I saw that, but I can't remember. It's been a long time. But anyway, that's pretty wild. So you've done all that stuff, and still you. But today you're running this this business, right? Academy Arts Press.
Yes. This past year we opened up Academy Arts Press, and part of it was to get some of my books out because I've written in quite a number of books over the years. I teach acting and have for about 25 years all over the country. And I had a book of 300 monologues, which you can order, great for actors, and 150 acting scenes. And these were all written by me for my acting classes.
Wow.
So we put them together in a book. So it's out there to help acting schools, acting teachers.
So, I mean, I know you've written the books. Do you teach still?
Yes, I teach. I have a 10-week screenwriting intensive coming up.
Okay.
And this is the second time we've run it. And the goal is to get people to learn how to do screenwriting, everything from concept to marketing your screenplay, total format, structure, and all that. And within the 10 weeks, the goal is for them to finish a first draft of their movie script.
Wow. I need to sign up. I'm on board. So you do that, and then there's a short story contest
when,
that you have.
When we opened up Academy Arts Press, of course, a number of it was to get most of my material out there too, but we wanted to give an opportunity to other writers. Okay. Because so many people really want to have a story that they've told, and sometimes it germinates in their minds for years, and then on their deathbed it's just like, oh, I should have written that down.
But I have a feeling that that's like my future, that I have all these ideas.
Then you got to get on this. The one thing that we wanted to do was open it up to other writers. So with this short story contest, not only do we accept any story that's out there in any genre, nothing pornographic, but whether it's horrors, you know, it's love stories, whatever you want. The short story genres are completely open. And the winner not only gets a cash prize, but we've committed to publishing the top 10 short stories in a book, which is the 2019 anthology of best short stories from Academy Arts Press.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. You know, I love those, you know, the national series, short stories of the year or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Best American short stories and all that. I've read those in the past. Now, in this book, I was just glancing through, Knowing When to Leave, is one that, are these your stories?
Yes. Wow. All of this is mine. I also have two books of short stories out. One is called Knowing When to Leave, which is a collection of short stories about relationships, some happy, some sad, some funny, some heartbreaking. It's all about those pivotal points in your life when you can make a choice to go either way. Do you stay? Do you go? Do you try something new? Do you soldier on? And it's very inspiring. We've gotten some great reviews from people who've read it. And then the other one is just Vin letting his imagination go. It's called Dark Wilderness and Other Stories.
Wow.
And that's sort of Twilight Zone-ish, horror, suspense, really interesting little twists in that, and it's a fun read.
Wow. Well, very cool. Well, not to jump around a little bit, but I want to ask you about your connection to Louisville, because I don't think you were born here, but you do love it.
You do this
work that doesn't have to be done here.
This is my adopted city. I was born in Massachusetts, actually, so I'm a northerner.
Okay.
And I lived in Northern California for a while and started playwriting. I had a comedy group called the Senseless Bickering Comedy Theater. I helped start the San Francisco Playwright Center, which is still there after 40 years.
Wow.
Then I went down to Los Angeles, sold some TV. While I was out there, had 11 movie contracts signed. No movie was made out of those, but it was nice to get that kind of
recognition. You're 0 for 11? Is that what you're telling me?
At that time. The nice thing is when I came here, I had two of my movies produced.
Okay.
So the Louisville community and Kentucky in general has really been a place where I've been able to expand. We've had a number of our plays that have been done all over the place, and I'm really supportive of the arts community out here.
Sure. You seem to have such a creative life. It impresses me with stuff, and some of it makes money, some of it doesn't, right?
Well, hopefully all of it will make money at some point. But as a writer, and I think everybody in general just has these ideas of listen to what I'm thinking. You know, get these out there. If you have a story, whether it's a play or a screenplay or a short story or a novel, we all have something to say.
Right.
And I've always felt that I want to leave something behind, you know, so years from now, you know, Vin will be gone, but his words will still be out there. And maybe it's someone in Kazakhstan laughing at a play that I did, or it's someone here who feels touched by a short story in one of my books, or an actor who's really expanded their range because they've picked up the monologue or the short scene books.
Okay.
And you leave something behind.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. I don't think, you know, you can't have this conversation without thinking of, you know, what you've done. I've written things all my life, but I don't think anything is, you know, that is going to be a leap behind you. They're not going to look at clips about local government and all that. But
well, there's a thing about submission inertia, which is basically you write something, you put it on your shelf, or you just write it and then continually rewriting it and never finish. And right. I faced that in the beginning. And then I said, well, you know what? I've got to get it out there. I've got to see if I am good enough. And when I started to submit my stuff, it actually turned out really well. I've placed or won over 29 national screenwriting contests and film festivals with my work.
Wow. So you've gotten some of those movies produced. Anything we might know.
Well, Breaking and Entering, actually, which is was based on a play of mine, which has been done all over the world, which is fun, was first produced here in Louisville for the Kentucky Contemporary Theater, and I did a movie version of it.
Okay.
And we sold out the Palace Theater, my little movie, which we shot for $67,000, a feature film, actually sold out the Palace. We had 2,600 people come to see it, and I believe it's a record, because that was for one showing. So
wow.
I think we hold the record for the largest single screening ever in the Southeast with this little movie that the audience loved, and it was fun to do. And I gave all local cast. We had local musicians supply the music.
Okay.
I really believe you don't just use the city as a place where you exploit tax credits or
right.
cheap labor, but you do things to make the city look better. And
yeah.
That was one of my big goals, is I didn't want to write a movie about horses, rednecks, or liquor, you know,
yeah.
or bourbon, because those are out there all the time. I wanted to show that Louisville can be just like any other city, and we have so much to celebrate. And my
yeah.
my movies have done that.
Okay, well, very good. Yeah, your submission inertia reminds me of a movie. You know, the Back to the Future series.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Marty's dad in the bad version is too chicken to ever submit his thing, and in the good version he's like a best-selling author because he got the nerve to send it in.
That is more common than you think. I whenever I tell people I'm a writer, that's what they always say. I've got a story, and it's just finish it, get it out there.
Okay, I'm inspired. You're actually very, very much inspiring me. So that's great. So what do we got to look forward to from you for Ben?
Well, as I said, we have a few more songs coming out under the Prime Cuts, and
okay.
you can find them in on YouTube, or you can find them in most music streaming companies like iTunes and
right.
Google Play and everything. The next 10-week screenwriting intensive starts this Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So if anybody's interested,
jump on it and go.
vin@academyarts.com. That's vin@academyarts.com if you want to find out anything that we're doing, or visit our academyarts.com website.
And I was at your Facebook page today as well, so I know that exists. And so that's all great. So I look forward to talking to you more about some of these contests and seeing some of these books. They're outstanding.
Well, thank you.
All right.
It's really great being here.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
So there you go. Even had a song about Louisville in that interview. That was really great. Vin Morreale, thanks for coming by. He left me a book that I've started to read in hopes that it will inspire me to write something. I've always wanted to write a short story. I don't know if everybody feels like that. I feel like I've got that novel in me. Or I've got at least a series of short stories. I've written things all my life, but I've never really done anything like that. So hopefully I'll read this book and get inspired to do so. That's great. So coming up in the next part of the show is Dan Borsch, who just opened the Burger Girl Diner on Frankfort Avenue. And we got a lot to talk about, including what's going on with the city this week. Is the deadline for the city to come up with a plan, either more taxes, cut services, something in the middle. Dan was part of a project, you know, and I say this in the interview, but I really believe it. You know, when you, in your budget, when you have a crisis and you have you need to make some money quick, what do? You sell some shit. Right out of the Dave Ramsey School, I think maybe Louisville as a city, excuse me, needs to sell some stuff. Of course, that's probably not going to happen, but we shall see as in the very near future, because that vote is going to take place at Thursday night's Metro Council meetings. So pay attention. This is something those of you who don't pay much attention to the news ought to pay attention to. I tell you, I think as I approach this show and in preparing for it, I think, well, you know, maybe I'm talking with people in the audience who don't get a lot of news, and they just listen to the Rusty Satellite Show to find out what's going on in Louisville. It's all about Louisville and what's going on in our fair city. So that's it. Some of the headlines in the news that I want to share with you. I'm very excited that Teddy Abrams signed a new contract with the orchestra. He is a star in our city, and he is the director of the Louisville Orchestra. He's been on this show, and it's really reassuring to know that he's going to be around for five more. He signed a five-year contract extension this week. So congrats to Teddy and the people of the Louisville Orchestra. He appears all over town. Everything there's a lot going on with Teddy. This week, you know, the Humana Festival of New American Plays is going on. This week at Actors, Thursday night, I'm going to a play called Everybody Black, which is supposed to be really funny and talk about the black experience in America. A brand new play. You know, all the Humana Festival plays are new plays debuting, and I'm looking forward to that one. That should be a really good one. So if you're paying attention to what's going on in state government, now I find this story to be kind of funny. You know, Wayne Lewis is the commissioner appointed by Governor Bevin. So anybody associated with Bevin, I sort of make a mental note that I'm going to challenge their view of the world. Well, you know, he is asked, the sick out thing is over with the Jefferson County teachers, but now Lewis wants all the schools to report the names of the teachers so that he can have a list, like a naughty list that Santa might have. And in order to get him to do it, he's promised there will be no disciplinary action taken against these teachers who called in sick when they weren't really sick so that school would be canceled so they could go to Frankfurt and protest the policies that Bevin was putting in place and all that. Bevin, by the way, I just kind of mentioned this quickly. Some of the things he does, I think, what an idiot. So he's got a practice. There's a story in the Courier today that he exposes all his kids to chicken pox instead of vaccinating them. You know, he's on the anti-vax crew, which, you know, I just don't agree with. I'm not going to say it's idiotic or stupid or anything like that. I don't agree that if there's a simple antidote for getting a bad disease and all it takes is to getting a shot to keep it from happening, why not do that instead of exposing your kids to the disease? It's laughable to me, but you know, it's the kind of thinking that is based, you know, a lot of this is I was reading the story and this anti-vax thing with chickenpox, it goes back to the fact that a long time ago they used aborted fetus cells to create the vaccine. And they don't do that anymore, the story said, but that's, you know, that's enough to get all the religious nuts to say, oh, well, we can't do vaccines. So I'm sure there's other reasons, but, you know, I've got a lot of opinions on things like that. On a few more tame subjects, I guess, a lot of changes going around. It's springtime, and things are happening. You're going to hear Dan Borsch talk about opening the Hillcrest Tavern by Derby. Derby is the traditional time where everybody that's opening a business anywhere within 50 miles of here says they're going to have it ready for Derby. Hillcrest Tavern is going to be open by Derby. Right next door to my house, there's a thing called a new sign is up, the Intaba Coffee House. I'm anxious to see what that's like. It's literally right outside my door. Right down the street, if you're paying attention to news in the restaurant industry, I know this was reported in Insider Louisville, the Bistro 860 down there at the corner of Melwood and Brownsboro Road, it's been empty for a while, and the people who run Chicken and Me are going to open that up, reopen that as a seafood, and yes, they are going to paint over that awful yellow that exists on that building down there. Right. That story is reported by Kevin Gibson. I read something in, I got a note from Insider Louisville today that Insider Louisville has hired Kevin full-time as a reporter there. That's good news for Kevin and for us, for that read his stuff. Congrats to Kevin, a multi-time Rusty Satellite Show guest. All right. Another some of Rusty Satellite Show guests are doing some big things. Kaveh Zamanian, who runs the Rabbit Hole Distillery down in Nulu. I read the story. I don't have confirmation, but I'm almost sure that's true. He is struck a deal to with Gil Holland to buy the Green Building, the thing that started it all in Nulu when Gil built the Green Building back 15 years ago, however long it was. And it's fully decked out. And right now the Galaxy is in there and Royal's Chicken is in there. And Kaveh has plans to open a restaurant up in front of his distillery. So it's all a natural thing. And got a lot of respect for Kaveh and what he's doing down at the Rabbit Hole. So speaking of Gil, who happens to be running for Lieutenant Governor, I'm working on him to get Adam Edelin on here for my 300th show coming up in a couple weeks. Gil bought a recording studio. I don't know if you've ever seen this place, but it's at Lexington, right where it turns into Liberty there. It's called La La Land. And apparently, according to the story I read, there have been a bunch of recordings made there, like My Morning Jacket and The Quiet Hollers, who've been on this show before. Anyway, that place, the guy who started it decided to leave town, and they've got a new manager there, and Gil, who owns a record company, is a part of that. So that's really cool. A lot of cool things happening in our city as we ramp up for spring. I want to give a quick plug to some of our other shows here at Louisville.am. I happen to hear our friends at Matt Keck over at Lou Review. That's Lou Review. They had an episode the other day with Bill Lamb on it. Bill Lamb of WDRB, who I know pretty well. I don't know why I haven't had him on this show before, but I should. But anyway, Bill was on the Lou Review show. It's very entertaining. You guys should check that out right here on Louisville.am. And as you're cranking up your ideas for and filling out your brackets for the NCAA tournament, the Crunch Zone is right here on Louisville.am. And those guys, they go on for hours about the intricacies of the tournament. In the latest episode, they talk about all things U of L sports. And it's a good show. It's a good, entertaining show right here on the Louisville.am network. Very cool. All right, so I've been staying busy, and hope you have too, and enjoying things in Louisville. You're going to really like this interview coming up with Dan Borsch. He is not only very active in the restaurant community, but he's really on top of things with local government. Has a lot of opinions, and I've always respected that. I really like him. And after I went today to have a veggie burger over there at the Burger Girl Diner, Dan came over here to the studio, and we talked a bit about his businesses and what's going on with the city. So hope you stick around for that whole interview and give it a listen, and I'll be back after that. I have just returned from a great lunch at the new Burger Girl Diner right down on Frankfort Avenue. Dan Borsch is with me in the studio.
How's it going?
Welcome. Been a couple of years since you were on the show, and your empire, restaurant empire, is growing.
Sure. Well, we definitely got a new place open this week, the Burger Girl Diner, Frankfort and Cannons Lane. I'm excited. It's been 10 years since I bought the Burger Boy in Old Louisville, and ready to expand.
Yeah, I was shocked not necessarily shocked, but when we heard about this way back last summer or fall, I said, "Oh, good, another Burger Boy's coming to the East End." But it turns out you had a girl.
Yeah, we need to do a big reveal party. It just seemed like fun. The timing was right. It, you know, just being a little playful. I love it, and you know, I have a boy and a daughter. So,
well, there you go.
Perfect.
Now I got a restaurant
for each of them.
So you had a soft opening this week.
Yep.
I'm one of the first customers. And, you know, you're getting some things worked out.
Yeah.
But
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for now. About a month from now, we'll go to 24/7.
Okay. Okay. Because you seem to have it running like clockwork down there at Burger Boy. Because, you know, whenever I go by there, there's people in there.
Yeah. It's a great cross-section of everybody coming through there. It's been a lot of fun.
I'd say so. Well, we need something like that out here in this part of town, so I'm glad.
Yeah, and I guess we should say a moment of peace for Barbara Lee's.
That's right. Well, I live directly across the street from where Barbara Lee's used to be, and I remember I went out and took a picture when they finally bulldozed the place.
Yep.
And so I was hoping you'd build a new building over there and build another one. So we're waiting to see what happens with that spot.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be on Frankfort Avenue. In fact, this was the second project that just got done quicker. We're doing the Hillcrest Tavern over by Frankfort Avenue Beer Depot, and that'll awesome. Be opening in May.
And that is news to me, and I'm sure it's news to our listeners, because you basically just got started on it, right?
We got our permit on Monday. We've been working on the project for a few months, but the building has to be gutted. We're doing a complete renovation. We're going to have this great vintage Brunswick bar, big arch columns, mahogany. I'm buying up vintage neons from the Midwest, Stroh's, Fall City.
Ertl's
for sure. Ertl's 92. Yeah.
So
that's a tough one.
Yeah.
To find those.
It's a cool, concept and right along a road that I guess, thanks to you, is growing. But even our friends at the Frankfort Beer Depot, they just opened a fish spot.
Yeah.
They're opening it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great little corridor. It's going to bring a lot of energy to that area. It's been kind of dead for a while. Frankfort Avenue Beer Depot has done great. But now having a couple choices and expanding along Frankfort Avenue, I think will be great for everybody.
Yeah, and you got the other way, you got Joella's, and then you go right into into the heart of St. Matthews. So a great spot.
I love it.
So let's
and everyone that knows me would be remiss if I didn't mention the sidewalks being in bad shape. So maybe this will encourage the city to get on that.
We'll try to encourage. I know you're a big fan of local government, so we'll talk about that in just a second. I do want to mention, when I walked in today, I couldn't believe it, George Parker is managing the Burger Girl.
Yeah,
over there.
We go way back, and
he was on this show before.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's done a lot of fun stuff in Louisville, and we reconnected and hatched this plan together.
Yeah, he seems very excited about it, so that's all cool. Very good. Well, I wanted to talk about that because that's like newsworthy for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm glad to have it, but I also saw your name in the paper the other day. Isn't it funny how we say things like in the paper?
They still print the paper?
Is there a paper? I saw your name in the news about the crisis we're having with the city.
Yep.
And the vote is this week on, I guess, how much taxes are going to go up and how much services are going to be cut to accommodate this pension problem that the state has sort of handed Louisville and left Mayor Fisher to deal with. And it's one of those things, everybody's got an opinion, don't they, on how to solve it? What's yours?
Well, my opinion is that we have a ton of assets as a city, including the parking garages downtown. They're not privately owned, obviously governmental property. We don't pay property taxes on them, so we're losing out on a ton of revenue from the prime properties of downtown Louisville. Mm-hmm. They're very valuable. And obviously there's demand from private companies to own and manage parking garages. So there's no inherent reason for the city to be managing them.
So we could sell them is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. Put them on the market, sell them, take that cash, use it for the deficit we have right now or the projected deficit, and we could pay off some long-term debt that we have on the books. So two revenue streams generated. We get the property taxes, you know, which includes funding for our public schools, which desperately need more money. And going forward, we have less debt payments and can use that money for helping people in need.
Well, sure. I mean, it totally makes sense. This analogy came to me the other day. You know, I'm thinking anybody that knows the whole Dave Ramsey spiel,
yeah.
You know, it's like when you're in trouble, when you're in debt, you got to get out of debt. Well, how do you do that? Well, you work like hell. You you cut your expenses. And lastly, the thing he says is you sell some shit.
Yeah.
Okay? So why didn't the city just sell some shit?
Yeah. It's crazy to me. We're paying money to hold on to the Louisville Gardens, and there are developers in town that have offered cash to take that over.
Wow.
But the city didn't like their plan, so they've kiboshed it. That's nuts. You know,
that is such a valuable piece of land right in the middle of the city.
It's crazy. Put that back on the property tax rolls, and it'd generate hundreds of thousands a year going forward in property taxes. Again, the government center project over on Barrett Avenue. We have a complex deal with the developer that basically keeps it off the property tax rolls. So if we had just sold it outright, we'd be in better shape right now. And you could probably come up with a dozen different versions of that. And in my mind, it kind of started back with Churchill Downs extorting. I guess that might be a little strong of a word, but I wasn't in the room, but I envision it going that way. Churchill Downs doesn't pay property taxes on one of the most valuable historic tracks in the country. And I'm all for trying to help big businesses here in town and local companies, but that's ridiculous. That's
how do we cut that deal?
I don't know. It surprised me.
Seems like I heard somebody talking about, like, you know, why does the city own the Bell of Louisville?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like a tour operator or some private entity should be doing that.
I'd say that's another great example of something that a private operator could do a great job at. And then we, as a city, then you can focus on making the lives of the citizens better instead of managing a boat.
Right. Managing a boat and paying people to run the boat. You know, I'm sure, you know, I've not seen the books or anything, but whether they're, you know, making a ton of money or not, you need an influx of cash right now for this pension thing.
Yeah, the alternative is we raise taxes and lots of people on limited incomes are going to suffer. You know, I don't think we've reached a point where we have to do that. That's the issue. Yeah. Let's save the tax increase till we really have exhausted every other revenue option.
And this insurance thing, maybe you have a better idea than I do on who that really affects. I mean, increase, all I keep hearing is that it's not on car insurance.
Well, that's still up in the air. Okay. They brought that back up as a potential to spread it out, the cost of the increases more. The people that suffer the most with insurance are, well, I'll give you a great example of myself personally. When the tavern burned down, I was very lucky. My dad was an insurance agent, and I knew the value of having good coverage. And as a startup business, I spent the money to have good coverage.
Okay.
In the future, if you're starting up a small business, you look at that line for insurance and you go, I don't need that much coverage. And then something happens and it busts you out of the business. When we had the fire, we were able to rebuild because of our insurance. If you're, let's say you're on a fixed income, you own your house, but your property taxes, or I'm sorry, your insurance goes up, you might talk to your agent and say, I don't need as much coverage on my house. That's your biggest asset. Something goes south, you're not going to be covered. And the other aspect is, you know, insurance agents are going to, how do you say it? Some of them might be very tempted to blame this increase in taxes on additional coverages.
Sure, but let's get this straight. The insurance tax hike they're proposing applies to what insurances? Is it just an across the board with?
No, there's several different categories. I want to say it's health insurance, and this is part of the problem. It's so complex, and they did it convoluted in a short window where it's hard to get educated about exactly what it is. But it's most of your small business coverages, your home coverages. They had started without the auto insurance.
Okay.
But that might be on the table.
Yeah,
like
I think
said.
That's
it's so up in the air right now. And
how are they going to vote this week on something to go forward with?
I don't know. It's going to be a 3 a.m. meeting, and I don't know that they'll have an answer on Thursday. There doesn't seem to be any consensus, and I think they need to reach 16 votes to pass it. I don't think that's going to, or 14 votes.
Well, there's 26 members, so yeah.
So
I got to get to 14, and I guess there's a couple of different proposals floating around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think do nothing's not one of the proposals, right?
I imagine they're going to eventually split the baby, do some combination of cuts and some increases. I hope they take the time, though, whether or not the park solves this tax issue or not. But in the long term, we don't need to be subsidizing parking downtown. Businesses figure it out. If there's a demand, they'll add more parking. We will still have the parking meters on the street. We could always build more parking garages down the road. But we've
used more Lyft.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The world's changed, and we've tied up these very prominent corners, usually corners, but properties in general downtown, and locked them into being concrete car parks instead of viable businesses paying taxes.
Well, cool. Well, we've almost got that problem solved. Yeah. It's a big week down at the Tavern in Old Louisville on Galbert. Will be, I guess, it's a big basketball weekend, right?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. Yeah, I'm excited.
People go in there to watch the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, it's just a fun time of the year, too. With the spring, we're opening up our patio. You know, Louisville and Kentucky are both in the tournament. The world is right, you know.
That's kind of a good thing, having Louisville play at noon on Thursday, right?
And the whole storyline with Patino. I mean, is the NCAA thinking? I guess they love controversy, apparently.
It's just a fun thing to talk about. They made up this thing at UK. They made up this thing about P.J. Washington possibly being hurt. I think that's just a story. it's just to add something to the game.
Nothing would shock me.
So we'll be out there watching them. Remind our listeners, if you get a chance, go to the Tavern. Go to Toonerville Tavern.
Appreciate that.
There's the new coming Hillcrest Tavern. There's Burger Boy. There's Burger Girl. The Empire is striking back with Dan Borsch. Dan, thanks for coming in and being on the show.
12 minutes already?
At least.
Appreciate it.
All right. And there you go. I certainly encourage you to visit the Burger Girl Diner and soon to come the Hillcrest Tavern right here in Louisville, about a mile or so from the studio. We're here in St. Matthews at the Louisville.am studios. And if you are interested, this is a business. So certainly I want to plug, if you're listening and you think you could do a pretty good podcast yourself if you only had the right thing, you only had the opportunity, you needed some help with the technology in the studio, get in touch with me, Rick Redding, right here at the Louisville.am network. And you can find me on Facebook at Rick Redding. Been getting a lot of friend requests lately. I don't know if that's a result of this show or not. But anyway, I certainly encourage you to get in touch with me to talk about that. If you want to sponsor a show, if you've got a business that could use a boost, certainly we have the ability to make that happen. I also operate LouisvilleKY.com. There is EatDrinkTalk.net. is a part of the media family of the Rusty Satellite Show. All right. Thanks to our sponsors. That would be Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health for being a part of this show. And I want to give a shout out to Heiser, especially for setting me up. I've had a little problem with my arm, and I've been unable to play racquetball the last few weeks, and I think I'm on my way to recovery thanks to recommendation of a physical therapist. Another thing I'm going to try. Boy, getting old, I'm telling you, getting old is not for the weak. It seems like something new is going wrong with one of the parts about every week. But anyway, I'm happy, though, and looking up at things going on in Louisville. Enjoy. It's the first day of spring, the day that I'm recording this, and you'll hear it on as early as Thursday. And I hope you're getting ready for basketball. Let's play some hoops. Hopefully, when I see you again, we'll be talking about Louisville's next game in the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16. It may be kind of a long shot, but it's possible. It could happen. And we'll be here to talk about it right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Next week will be show number 299. I got some great guests coming up. I have secured a date with Steve Conrad, the police chief. And we'll see what the fallout is from this this tax thing. I'm also have on my list Adam Edlin, the candidate for governor, who's running with Gil Holland as a Democrat for governor. And Heather French Henry, who's running for Secretary of State, is going to be a future guest on this show, I believe. So stay tuned for all that. Follow me on iTunes and Facebook, and check out RustySatelliteShow.com. And until we meet again, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.